There they are, the one and only Frankie Beverly and Maze. Requested music for Oakland this morning. Golden time of day. Commercial free style. Where else would you be but with Donald E. Lacey on Wake Up Everybody with your host Donald E. Lacey. 9:10 is our time check. Joining me now all the way from Washington, D.C. Pleasure to welcome to the program investigative reporter for The Nation magazine, Mr. Joshua Coors. Good morning.
Good to be with you, Donald.
Hey, thank you for joining us. Wow, what a disturbing story about the U.S. and torturing its own soldiers. And the reason I kind of chuckle is because most of the people who are pro-war and to the right of the spectrum always claim to be so supportive of our troops. But stories like this show, they're anything but.
Well, to me, this is not a political story, left or right. I think everyone wants to see the best for the soldiers. But this case specifically of Sergeant Chuck Luther really is a horrific one. He was severely wounded by mortar fire while serving in Iraq, slammed his head against the concrete, and lost a significant portion of his hearing. He would get headaches so severe that vision would black out in one eye. The other, he told me, it was like someone stabbing him in the eye with a knife. He went to the aid station for help. They tried to convince him that his blindness was caused by a pre-existing condition, a problem with his personality.
They, I'm assuming, meaning the military doctors who examined him.
That's exactly right. The military doctors, they called it a personality disorder. Now, he thought that was the most ridiculous thing he'd heard. How could a problem with his personality cause blindness? But, Donald, I have been working on this story and the broader story of personality disorder discharges for 3.5 years. And I've seen this story over and over. Since 2001, over 25,000 soldiers have been discharged with personality disorder. That's a severe blow to these soldiers because, as a pre-existing condition, it means these wounded soldiers cannot get disability pay for the rest of their life. They can't get long-term medical care like other wounded soldiers. And the capper is the fine print in that discharge that they have to give back a chunk of their signing bonus. That means that on the day of their discharge, thousands of wounded soldiers from Iraq and Afghanistan are finding out they actually owe the Army several thousand dollars.
Now, obvious, the motivation to me seems behind this just horrific behavior by the U.S. military is cost-cutting and saving money. Do you know exactly what this so-called disorder that they are prescribing that these soldiers have, so they do have to end up paying part of their pensions, what it's saving or making the U.S. military?
I do. I've looked at those figures, also drawn figures from a Harvard University study by Professor Linda Bilmes. You see that they're saving about $12.5 billion.
Wow.
In disability and medical care. And Sergeant Luther was not going to be part of that. He rejected that diagnosis, and so they took drastic action. They put him in a closet and held him there for over a month under enforced sleep deprivation, with armed guards keeping the lights on all night, blasting heavy metal music at him all through the night. When he tried to escape the closet, they pinned him down, injected him with sleeping medication, and dragged him back to the closet. Finally, you know, at the end of a month, he was willing to sign anything. And he did. He signed his name to a personality disorder discharge. At that point, they whisked him back to Fort Hood, told him the disturbing consequences of that discharge. No disability pay for the rest of your life, no long-term medical care, and by the way, here's a bill for $1,500.
Wow.
He was told that if he did not pay that promptly, they would begin to garnish his wages and start assessing interest.
Now, what type of legal recourse does he have, if any, moving forward? Because obviously, as you say, after torture, he would sign anything. But due to the fact that you could argue it was coerced by every stretch of the imagination to sign, is there any legal recourse available to him?
Well, it's complicated. On one hand, you have the Ferries Doctrine, based on the 1950s Supreme Court case, Ferries v. U.S., which prevents soldiers from suing their military doctors, regardless of how egregious that doctor's actions are. But I have to say, this week, Sergeant Luther testified before Congress, a congressional hearing before the House Veterans Affairs Committee that was sparked by my reporting on this. I came and testified as well, and I was there to see the chairman of that committee, Congressman Bob Filner from San Diego. He was horrified by the situation and encouraged Sergeant Luther to take legal action. So I spoke with Sergeant Luther just yesterday. He is talking to his lawyers and seeing what they can do. But where that goes from here is anybody's guess.
That's the voice of Joshua Kors. He's an investigative reporter for The Nation magazine. Now, you say you've been, and I want to get to the testimony a bit later, but I want to go back for a second. You've been following this story for 3.5 years. How many more horror stories like the gentleman you just mentioned who testified on Capitol Hill this week have you uncovered?
Oh, I've seen dozens and dozens of cases. Really, the use of personality disorder seems to be solely for soldiers who were physically wounded in war and seek benefits. At that point, the military discovers this pre-existing condition. I think about Sergeant Jose Rivera. They said his shrapnel wounds were caused by personality disorder. Bonnie Moore, they said her inflamed uterus, her profuse vaginal bleeding, was caused by personality disorder.
Wow.
Her case really struck me. After being denied disability and medical care, she and her teenage daughter became homeless. They called me because they were concerned that if they went to the homeless shelter, her daughter would be raped.
So once these incidences, I'm assuming, are reported, what happens to them? How far up the chain of command do these reports go? Or is it pretty much, you know, a wink and a nod and look the other way by the higher-ups and they just let this stuff go along unchecked?
Well, I think it's a little more insidious than that. Sergeant Luther's story was part 3 in my series on these personality disorder discharges. In part 2, I spoke with military doctors who talked about the pressure on them to purposely misdiagnose wounded soldiers. One told me the story of a soldier that came back with a chunk missing from his leg. His superior pressured him to diagnose that as personality disorder.
That's crazy. Wow. So I'm curious, you, of course, along with the sergeant, testified on Capitol Hill this week. First of all, when you recounted these kind of stories, what response did you get and what kind of follow-up questions about what you testified to did you receive from the committee?
It was a strange mix, Donald, I'll have to tell you. The chairman, Bob Filner, was horrified and extremely sympathetic. But Steve Booyer, the ranking Republican on the committee from Indiana, he was not going to have any part of this. He said he'd worn the Army's uniform for 30 years and was not going to see their name sullied. In the middle of Sergeant Luther's testimony, he stood up and stormed out of the room.
Wow. Wow. So when is all the testimony concluded? Will there be more testimony early next week, or what's the latest on that?
Well, that remains to be seen as well. This particular hearing is concluded, but this was not the first hearing. In 2007, I testified alongside Specialist John Towne, who was wounded by a rocket while serving in Iraq. Blew out a significant portion of his hearing, and they gave him the Purple Heart for those wounds. Then they tried to tell him that his deafness was caused by personality disorder. That led to a congressional hearing as well. Whether there's going to be a third one, I'm not quite sure. I spoke briefly with the chairman of the committee after the hearing, and he said he's going to be thinking about the legislative track from here forward.
Now, has there been any comment at all from Obama or any of his representatives regarding this issue?
Well, that's interesting. Obama really is a central player in this story. He's been both a hero and a disappointment to so many military families. A hero because he was one of the first people to recognize this scandal. As a senator, he put forward a bill to halt all personality disorder discharges. but a disappointment, because during his run for the presidency, and even now from the White House, he has not spoken at all about personality disorder discharge. He never spoke about the bill he put forward to halt them.
Mm.
As a result, the bill, which was created by him and Republican Senator Kit Bond of Missouri, they were forced really into a corner by lack of understanding of this scandal. They had to water down that bill and place it in an amendment, which was part of a spending bill signed by President Bush. That amendment required the Pentagon to study personality disorder discharges, but not end them.
Mm.
5 months later, that report landed on Obama's desk, and the Pentagon's conclusion, not a single soldier had been wrongly diagnosed,
Wow. And
not a single soldier had been wrongly discharged. But Donald, I did a touch more reporting. I found out that in the 5 months they did this thorough review, they didn't interview anyone, not even the soldiers whose cases they were reviewing. Fact came out during this week's congressional hearing. And at that, the chairman simply exploded. He said, a thorough review? But you didn't call a single person? The Army was there to explain their actions, and they stumbled and stuttered so profusely that many people in the audience actually began to laugh at them.
Wow. That's the voice of Joshua Kors, investigative reporter for The Nation magazine. Now, it says here in the information was provided to me, since 2001, over 22,000 soldiers have been discharged with personality disorder. And I'm wondering, is there any way to track what has become of these young men and women? Because obviously, if they're asked to pay and they lose their benefits, they need some type of medical attention, be it physical, mental help or whatever. What happens to them?
Well, first of all, that 22,600 figure, that is now outdated. That was one of the things that came out in this week's hearing. 22,600 represents from 2001 all the way to 2007. But this practice of diagnosing and discharging wounded soldiers as having this pre-existing condition has continued full force since 2007. At the hearing, the Army admitted that the current count is well over 25,500.
And these people, once they are diagnosed and discharged, do they have any access to medical care of any kind?
Well, they do, and that's another idiosyncrasy in this story that really caused some confusion, some anger, and some humor at the hearing. They tell you when you're discharged with this pre-existing condition that you can't get medical care, you can't get disability pay. And so many soldiers just go home, try to lick their wounds and make the best of it. So many of them, of course, struggle because they can't get employment. Could you imagine trying to go and get a job with a scrap of paper saying that you're mentally ill?
Right.
In this job economy, you're just not going to get that job, and that's why so many of these families are driven straight into bankruptcy. But what so many of these soldiers don't know is that if you go to the VA to get medical care with this pre-existing condition, you actually can request a fresh diagnosis.
Mm.
And several of the soldiers, obviously a small minority, but several of the soldiers found that out from the press coverage of this. They went, got the VA to take a look at them, and got a fresh diagnosis saying, of course these soldiers don't have a pre-existing condition. They're suffering from traumatic brain injury or shell shock, post-traumatic stress disorder, or even in some cases, like Samantha Stitz, fractured pelvis. They said the fractured bones were caused by personality disorder. Well,
wow.
These soldiers have gone again and, like Sergeant Luther, are now collecting benefits. But even in those cases, you have this disjointed system, because now the VA is providing Sergeant Luther benefits and saying that he's 90% disabled. But the military is sticking with this pre-existing condition discharge and diagnosis. So you have one soldier, two radically different diagnoses.
Mm. You know, I'd imagine, and not that it matters the age, but I imagine a good number of these 25,000 or so soldiers are pretty young people.
Well, many of them are, but that's not always the case. I spoke with an elderly colonel and looked at his case extensively. They tried to put him out with a personality disorder. This is one of those scandals that reaches every branch of the military, every age, every rank, every race.
Have you received any threatening and or warnings from the military in writing or verbally before you uncovering this story?
Well, it's weird. I'd say the vast majority of the mail I get, and I do get a lot, are either soldiers who say, my goodness, this happened to me. I didn't know anyone knew about this. Or from families who want to help. I get a little hate mail, not much, but it's Sergeant Luther that has really borne the brunt of that anger. He went back to his home outside Fort Hood, and he got a good deal of harassment. He got a threatening note on his car, handwritten, saying, stop what you're doing, or your family will pay. He started an organization called Disposable Warriors to help other soldiers who were going through the same fraudulent discharge and struggle for benefits that he was. Later that year, some unknown people broke into the home of a veterans advocate whom he was working with and stole nothing but the files of the soldiers they were working on.
Wow. You know, and I imagine, too, a lot of people in the military who are still serving who hear of this, it must sour their whole intent and or fervor to want to continue to be in the military. Heaven forbid something like this in a very hazardous position would happen to them.
Well, you know, perhaps it has scared some people off. I know that when Sergeant Luther and some of the other soldiers whose cases I've looked at, when they're asked, should we serve, they keep saying yes. They believe in the military. They believe in their service to their country. This is a portion of that. Having done my military reporting now for several years, I know that the military is such a broad spectrum of people. You have some great people, and you have some ugly ones.
Mm-hmm. Now, what can folks listening in do to support these soldiers? I'm imagining, you know, people like you, and I'm imagining military veterans for peace and organizations like that are very supportive of these young men and women. But what would you recommend folks do?
Well, you know, the organization that pops off the top of my head is actually a Facebook page. It was started by a veteran who read about these fraudulent discharges and was disgusted. He gathered a group of veterans and military families to put together a Facebook page called Stop Personality Disorder Discharges for Our Wounded Soldiers. And, Donald, the growth there has been remarkable.
Can you repeat that one more time, please?
Absolutely. The Facebook page is called Stop Personality Disorder Discharges for Our Wounded Soldiers.
Okay.
Easy to find on Facebook, and its growth has been remarkable. It started with 100 people within an hour. Later that day, it had quintupled to 500. And I checked it here just before coming on air. It's now up to 5,500 members. I see that only growing. And with the number of folks growing there, that could be increasing pressure on folks in Capitol Hill to take action on this problem.
Well, you would think the more that this is brought to the public's attention, the more people, you know, will stand up for what's right, because I've never been in favor of war, but I have a great admiration and respect for young people who merely trying to feed their families do what they do to serve. So, I mean, they should be treated fairly like anyone else. So let me give your website, because folks can get the article on Sergeant Luther and some more on your great investigative journalism. It's www.joshua, J-O-S-H-U-A, Kors, K-O-R-S, .com. Listen, I greatly appreciate the work you do. Much continued success in keeping this out in the public eye. And we got to have you on again in a little bit down the road and see how this story is developing.
I'd be happy to do that. Good speaking with you, Don.
Likewise. Take care. There he is, Mr. Joshua Kors. You know, I love this gig because I get to bring you information like that. Now, how about that guy? He spends his most of his days reporting on what the military is doing or not doing. And that is just crazy. A woman got vaginal bleeding, and it's her personality disorder. How diabolical is that? Somebody got a leg blown off, and they have personality disorder. Wow. Only song I can think of is America Eats Its Young. I wish I had that in front of me right now, but man, that is just terrible, terrible business. www.joshuakors.com. 89.5 FM, KPOO, San Francisco, Oakland, Hayward, Marin, on the World Wide Web at www.kpoo.com. Yes, yeah, spread the word. That's what this show is all about. 30 years. We try to give you the information you don't get nowhere else. Huh? And then each one, teach one, reach one. And now we all the way down to North Carolina, Alaska checked in this morning. We all over the world in Africa, Mama Africa, all over the globe, spreading the truth. Truth brushed to the earth shall rise again. Aya. Wake up, everybody. Let the consciousness flow. 932, commercial freestyle Lee. Here it is going out to Brother Abdul. Yeah, I feel you, man. He wanted to hear some roots. I came up with this one. We're going to chant down Babylon, all the wickedness, vileness, you know, all the satanicness. Yes, I stand firm in Babylon from the West Gate, like Esau would say. Up, you mighty race. Boop, boop. More fire, more fire.